Welcome back to All In with Jordan Apodaca. Today I've got my friend Anthony on the line with me. How's it going, Anthony?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. And so for those who don't know you, and I honestly barely know you, could you give a brief introduction to kind of who you are, what you do, and if you could throw in just kind of a fun fact that even people who follow you might not know about you?
Oh, man. Okay, so my name is Anthony Campo. I have a consulting company, coaching, where I help entrepreneurs really in two areas: their lifestyle, putting their lifestyle together, and then putting all the missing pieces in their business together so that they can run at a higher level, more efficiently in that. So, I'm not a client acquisition guy. I'm not anything like that. I just love systems infrastructure as far as business. And then I was a personal trainer and then ended up opening my own gym. So the big part of that is the lifestyle piece and what that's played into my life throughout the years as far as being a business owner and the times that I've invested into myself and invested into my health and fitness and how that ties into really, you know, it's not a prerequisite, but it does make life a lot better when you got everything together in your personal life. So, and you're playing at the top of your game physically, nutritionally, spiritually, in your relationships. And you know, that'll get to show up in a better way and have a happier, more fulfilled life if you put all those things together. So, I've been in business. First business I got started into was a senior care facility business that my mom was running and partnered with her at 24. And we ended up growing that company from just two locations to about 10 locations. And, you know, we brought on my sister as a partner as well and a few other people. And we grew 10 locations in about 2.5 years. And then I ended up really falling in love with CrossFit and opened up my own CrossFit gym. So after about 3 or 4 years into that, I went full time into running a CrossFit gym for about 6 to 8 years, doing that, and then now we've moved to Utah, and my wife and I are currently doing we're buying liquidated furniture and rugs and stuff like that, and reselling those, and I'm doing some coaching. So
that's awesome. And specifically for the coaching, you said that it's helping. Is it mainly business people with their lifestyle and growing their business, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I found that, you know, like as a coach, we can go out and it was kind of both sides, right? When I would coach people, their fitness, eventually their work would get in the way, right? Hmm. And then that would hinder them in their fitness and then on the business side, focusing on that, they would, you know, they would get prioritizing and just kind of get things done. You know, it was really their lifestyle and the other stuff that wasn't jiving with it. Right. And they weren't managing the whole thing. So, I feel like, you know, what I've understood is that entrepreneurs or someone who's starting a business and going from zero to, you know, just a kind of proof of concept, right? Or getting off the ground, right? You know, they need to prioritize their health and fitness and getting into a routine. You hear that big thing right now that's really prevailing throughout, you know, pop culture, you know, entrepreneurial culture is having a routine, having set of keystone habits to really help you out. And I didn't believe it for a while, but you know, the more I practiced it, the more I understood it and stuff like that. But I think that's the same thing. You got to have your keystone habits in your personal life that deals with fitness, nutrition, mindset, spirituality, how to really improve your relationships, and then have some keystone habits that are really, when you're first getting started, that are focusing on marketing and sales. You know, and really, really building in, making it a habit to do marketing and sales activities and deciding on those, like differentiating those so that, you know, cause that's the first thing you need to work on so that you constantly have the habit, right? And you're actually, you get to live it. And then once you're able to pass it on to your team and you build a team, you can lead it, right? So, yeah, and it's you know, it's really important to have those things and just to learn that those practices, because without them, people wonder why they don't get things done, right? They don't have a system to operate from within, how they run their week, how they run their day, how they run their month. Even just if they're the solo person, they've got to have their own way and they've got to have a system inside their business. So
how they run. Do you have a pretty complicated kind of daily set of practices and rituals and habits, or do you try to keep it pretty simple?
Yeah, I think biggest thing is keeping it simple. I think I made the biggest mistake really starting out, like, for the longest time. I remember, like, I think I was 12, 13 years old. I'm going to get up early and have this morning routine. Like, I just felt like it was something I needed to do. But I made it too complicated, right? I didn't understand being young of, like, literally, like, just starting with, you know, with one simple victory every, you know, right now, right? It doesn't matter if it's – just start with something simple in all the categories instead of overloading yourself. I saw this a lot. I see this a lot. You know, a lot of people trying to achieve things is that they take on a plan that's not where they're currently at, right? And they start acting like – they start on a diet, right? And it's way over what they're really used to. So they have their current internal programming really getting into conflict with what they're currently doing instead of trying to make the smallest victory and then building upon that over the course of, you know, weeks, months, years, instead of trying to just burn out real fast in the 30-day hardcore, you know, program. You guys, you know, and trying to go too hard too soon.
So, like, I have one of my daily habits that I try to make sure is there each day is reading. And in the past, I would set these reading goals of reading like 50 pages a day. And some days I'm genuinely happy. Like, I want to do more, but I set it as a bar minimum of I'm going to read 2 pages. And so if I can just read 2 pages, then that's kind of setting the standard low enough that it's not this giant deal if I don't do it. But most of the time, I get into it and I end up reading 10 or 15 or 20. So is that kind of what you're talking about, of just starting really easy and then building from there?
Yeah. I mean, the simple thing is, like, one of lessons I've learned is just start with a 2-minute drill, right? If you're talking about building something. And I love this. Like, I actually, you know, just realizing that once you install like a habit, that to upgrade that habit is very easy. Right. If you just use it, start small with 2 minutes. If it's reading, meditating, if it's working out, even some people that 2 minutes would be great for them, right? Yeah. I can really design you some workouts that are really amazing in 2 minutes, and you want to work out for the rest of the day. But, you know, 2 minutes, don't downplay it, right?
Yeah,
it could be upgraded from there.
When I first started a couple of years ago, I've kind of not always done the best at keeping up with fitness. And a few years ago, there was that 7-minute app, that 7-minute workout app that came out. And for me at that time, that was what I needed to finally. I like the distinction you made of between installing and upgrading a habit. Installing really is the harder part. So keeping it short in the beginning, I think, is crucial. What do your daily habits look like now?
So the last couple weeks have been kind of thrown off, but I still get them in through the day. My oldest son does, both kids don't sleep through the night still, and they're almost 4, right? One's almost 4, one's almost 3. Well, he's 2.5. So that's all messed up. But generally, you know, it's really get a workout in, have a green smoothie. I track my macros of like what I'm eating and stuff. And then, you know, meditate, journal. I send a message to my wife and kids, you know, some type of I love you, whatever it might be, a video to my kids, because they're getting to the age where they're starting to understand stuff. So I'll be switching that once, you know, as they have more awareness and consciousness and stuff like that. But for the last 2 or 3 years, I've sent them a video almost every day, or a text message or something like that, created their own emails and stuff. And then at least study something one time a day, and then share that, teach it, post on social media and stuff like that. you know, in some type of fashion. So a few other things I do, but that's pretty much the general framework.
That's great. That's really cool. And one of the things, kind of how we kind of connected on Facebook, you would message me and we were talking a little bit about spirituality, because I told you that one of my, you helped me actually discover that one of the niches that I wanted to focus in on for coaching is helping people who've kind of grown up in a strict fundamentalistic background kind of regain some inner confidence. And so we got talking about spirituality, and you mentioned Kabbalah. Am I saying that right? Kabbalah?
Yeah.
And so I looked into it a little bit, but I still am mostly ignorant about it. And so I'd like to spend a decent amount of time talking about it. Could you give just a brief introduction for us all? What is Kabbalah?
So, like, just to be straight up, what I've learned is from YouTube. I just kind of, and I'm not like, I spent a few weeks studying it and gotten the basic fundamentals and stuff like that of it. And there was an Insight Timer app and stuff like that. But really what, it's ancient Jewish mysticism. And those of you that have grown up in Judeo-Christian backgrounds and had that, and for me, if you go and look at it, it could, you can find some understanding of like the nature of every, like a kind of different perspective on what you've been taught, right? I know you grew up in a fundamental like background. I went to, starting at second grade through pretty much eighth grade, I went to a Southern Baptist Christian school and was involved in that, not only just school, but, you know, Wednesday night youth group and, you know, doing all, that whole thing, going through Royal Ambassadors and stuff like that. But, you know, there's a very superficial level to what you're taught in church, right? And, you know, one of the things, if you go and kind of read on this Kabbalah, it kind of gives you like some different contexts of like the nature of going back to Adam and Eve and kind of like the relationship between God and man. I mean, this is the biggest thing I took away from it, is that, you know, God, with the belief in Kabbalah, is that the nature of God is to give, right? And for us is to receive, but we end up not fully receiving and wanting to earn when we don't have to earn, right? And you look at that principle and you look back and you go, well, okay, well, what if Jesus came and said, right? Like, you don't have to earn your salvation, right? And basically, like, him dying on the cross was the proof of that, but he was already saying this was already done. Like, you know, all these laws and all this other stuff was really written by man, right? Kind of, that's my understanding of what Jesus came and said, like, stop all this, like, you know, all this working on the Sabbath, right? Healing on the Sabbath. That was one of the things that he did. And he got, they were mad at him for that. They wanted to kill him for that. But like, I've always going through that, I always had this deep connection to some type of message within that was like, stepping back from the dogma, right? Like that, you know, like most Christians, like what is salvation? Jesus died on the cross. It's like, no, like realizing that everything that God wants to give us, everything that we want, right? And like, there's no earning what he wants to give us. And all we have to do is submit to the gift, right? And you know, like I've had conversations with, growing up in Utah, right, having missionaries and stuff like that. And I engaged them because, you know, that's a part of, my belief is like engagement is a part of like your testimony. Right. And, you know, one of the things is that, you know, they were like, well, what was the reason for Jesus' salvation, Jesus coming? I'm all, well, you know, save us, right? To tell us this one thing. But if he is God and we are saved when he came, we were always saved, right? And that's kind of against what a lot of people tell you, right? Like, you know, that, and I fundamentally think that's what one of the things that the message of salvation is that you guys were always saved. You guys just rejected it, right?
Yeah. And that's really interesting, because I've been thinking a lot about how to make sense of Jesus' death and the meaning of it. And the message that I had heard growing up in different forms came back to the same idea that there was a fundamental problem between God and us. And Jesus kind of stepped in between. He took the bullet for us, right? And somehow that made things right between God and man. So things were in a state of us, God not fully loving us, but then Jesus did something, and now God can fully love us if we go to him. And I think if you really look at what the Bible says, and you really look at how Jesus describes it himself, it talks about how we kill him. We're the ones who killed Jesus when he came. It's not that God the Father was doing some legal deal with Jesus to make it so we could come back. We're the ones who killed him. And he let us kill him to show us once and for all, you can kill me and I'll still love you. You can do whatever you want to me and I'll still love you. My attitude toward you will never, ever, ever change, no matter what you do. So getting back to that idea that you mentioned, that absolutely everything is free. You don't have to work for a single thing. And it's sad that we can take that message and then twist it into a form of you have to work for it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like through and connecting back to, like, for me, like morning routines, and part of that is meditation. Part of that is, you know, doing all this other stuff. It's, you know, I've experienced in those situations where everything started to speed up and everything became easy. And for some reason, I just pulled the plug on it. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. When I heard that message of like, here it is, like, you know what I mean? What you want, you could kind of like, I'm the nature of God is to give and your nature is to receive, but you reject that receiving. And it's like, okay, I could practically, I've lived that, right? I've done that. I can see where I've made things harder on myself than it has to be. And, you know, that's my, you know, ultimately, like, if I look back at my spirituality and my journey, it's like, and I actually walked away partly from the church because of hypocrisy that I saw, right? And that for somewhere deep in me that I felt like the real message of Jesus Christ was not being lived, right? And, you know, their condemnation of being, I'd be completely transparent of, you know, true love waits and all this other stuff. I don't know if you went through that stuff. We had your own like promise ring and all of the other stuff, right?
Yeah, and I had a purity ring at one point.
Yeah. Like, I mean, part of me was like, nah, man, I'm like young and I want to go do my thing. And that, but I think like there's a lot of judgment and all that around that that doesn't need to be there. But a lot of that I saw hypocrisy of, like, one of the things that really just pissed me off in youth group is like, you're not worthy of being here. And I'm like, no, that's completely stupid. I hated that perspective of what the church had, is that you're not worthy of being here. Okay. Like that is like, and then all this thing about sin, the nature of sin, right? And my understanding of sin now versus sin then, right? Sin then was like naughty. And I remember the anxiety would give me about the God being judgmental on me, right? This judgmental thing and this judgmental environment. But if you look at what Jesus said, right? Like, you had the lady with five husbands, right? Or had, you know, all this other stuff, and he accepted her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he refused. Like, what I think is just so crazy when people want to be super heavy on following the rules is that there was a clear rule in place about what ought to happen to that woman. She was supposed to be killed. And he's just like, no, not today, not on my watch. Like, this woman is going to live. I'm going to love her. I'm going to accept her. And what about the rules? Jesus just didn't seem that interested.
I think what it was for me, my understanding of that is like that, like, one thing is that my mom always said, like, man's doctrine versus what God truly says, right? And what God's nature is, right? And if Jesus is God and you can see him and he lived that way, if he did not enforce that rule, then it was not his rule.
Yeah.
That was man's doctrine. That was man's rule, right?
Yeah.
And if you see over the course of history of like where even like where our nation is evolving, it's like we're evolving away from this nature of man of being very very like rule based and like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And you know, one of the things that always got me was thou shalt not judge. And people want to ask, like, even I think I get so frustrated with a lot of the Christians judging like homosexuality, all this other stuff, because look, you are not the judge. I am not your judge, right? Like if you're truly like, and this is what I loved about like, I got over the last few months, I do 90 day, I've done 90 day challenges, right? Where I have a goal in each area. And I started listening to Robbie Zachariah over the last 3 or 4 months. And one of the things he's like, read the book of John 3 times, right? And ask God to show himself to you. And I love the fact that when you read that, and if we believe that the words that are there in my book highlighted in red were Jesus' words, I'm gonna weigh my opinion and my beliefs on those words versus anybody else's words. So, yeah. You know, like this Nate, like, I mean, she should have been killed, right? He was the judge and he did not judge her. So we're supposed to follow him and live like him. So what are we supposed to do? Right.
Yeah. And it's I think in the book of John, he says, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And then Christians are supposed to follow Jesus and they act as if their whole purpose was to come into the world to condemn the world. It's like, no, that's not at all. Not at all.
That's why, like, you know, we found a pretty cool church here. And, you know, about 6 years ago, I started really getting back into it because I found a pastor that was like that. Right. Mm. That was like, you know, really kind of away from that doctrine because it's just ridiculous because my experience there, that the one thing in youth group, they told me you're not worthy. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You don't create something that's not worthy of being here. Right. Hmm. That's such a bad message. The other thing was like, my grandma had like hydrocephalus. She basically mimicked Alzheimer's disease, but she didn't have Alzheimer's. Hmm. So she was not with it, wandering and stuff. And we should go to that Wednesday night thing. And they asked us not to bring her anymore. I'm like, are you serious?
Wow. That is so messed up.
That is not what this is all about, right? So, you know, there's just things there. And then, you know, I actually had, when I was 20, my dad passed away. And I actually watched him pass away. And it was pretty interesting how it all played out because his best friend was a different thinker like that in relation to spirituality and stuff like that. And then something just clicked and we had like a conversation over 2-3 weeks, like almost every night, right? Mm. About the nature of this stuff. And it was like almost like something different was speaking to me. You know what I mean? And for a while it, you know, that, you know, like the meaning of when Jesus says, I am within all of you, you're in with me, you know, that whole saying, I'm not quoting him very well, but basically saying I'm within you, you're within me, you know, all this other stuff. And what that truly means, is to me that we all are part of God. Right. And we all are piece of God. And like, there's a whole other thought process down that I've considered and stuff like that. But,
And it's interesting because the Eastern Church has a whole doctrine about that idea. They really jump off of 2 Peter 1:4, I think, that talks about how through God's promises we become partakers of the divine nature. And so in some way we partake in, like we become a part of it, almost makes it sound like. And the Eastern Church was willing to explore that whereas the Western Church, for the most part, kind of shied away from it and wanted to make really clear the division. Here's God, here's us, and they shall never come into actual direct contact except for in the person of Jesus. Whereas the East was saying, like, no, it began with Jesus becoming man, but then we become united to him, and so we're truly being united to God.
And the crazy thing that I'm starting to, like, I watched something last night on, like, we're going, you know, how Musk wants to go to Mars and all this other stuff, and thinking about to, like, how a lot of science is, you know, there's been this divide between science, kind of, right? Secular science and, you know, Christianity, Judeo-Christian thing, and looking at the Bible when they're, you know, they make fun of people that believe in the Bible saying it's only X amount of thousands years old, right? And it's like, well, I think a lot of what you're taking is very at face value instead of looking at, you know, the true meaning behind things, right? And what's being said. And I think, you know, if you even look at the concept of the Big Bang, right? Like, if before there was nothing, right? There was, you know, there was the creator, right? And yeah, it exploded, right? This whole explosion. And all this goes out to the universe and pieces off, right? And that was maybe piece of God, right? That blew up or something. You know what I mean? That type of thing. It's kind of like these thought processes that, you know, and then each of us come into existence and have that piece of divinity inside of us, right? You know, if we accept it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And another interesting philosophical concept. Are you familiar with Thomas Aquinas? He was a
13th I've heard century... the name and stuff. I haven't studied him that.
Okay. Yeah. He was a 13th century Christian theologian, philosopher, really, really brilliant guy. And he developed a whole theory about how existence and essence relate. So my essence is a human. We all have the essence of humanity, but an essence on its own, he says, can't exist. And so there needs to, essence and existence actually need to be united together. And he holds that God is existence itself. Like, the fullness of all being is God. God is the fullness of being. And so within each person, the fact that they exist is evidence of God's contact with inside at the most fundamental level, each human being, and not just each human being, but literally everything that exists. So what that would mean then is that the most fundamental aspect of every single thing is God's presence in them that grants them that kind of spark of existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I find that all super fascinating to just think through and imagine. And that'd be an interesting route to take. So how has this rethinking of Christianity, of this worldview, how do you use this view of the world every day through your daily practices, through your meditation? How has that affected how you meditate and kind of prime yourself for the day?
Well, so I have to go back to that night my dad passed, right? And, yeah, you know, one thing that my dad would always kind of, he had a thing about knowing if someone was like a good person or a bad person or whatever, like he just wouldn't like them, like right when he met them. And, you know, my mom would say, yeah, it would turn out to be true. Like, I don't like that guy, right? And he just said, oh, I have a strong intuition, right, about things. And then, I started to understand that, but the night my dad passed, I was leaving a class. I tried to petition a class, didn't get in, and I wanted to go home. My dad was in the hospital. But I was like, I just want to go home. Right. And it was this little voice that said, go to the hospital. And I was like, ugh. And like, it just was that thing where you didn't want to go. Right. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And that's the night my dad passed. So I look at that, like, and over the years, I always went back to that and like, I was like, oh, you know, that intuition, what if that, you know, kind of questioning that all through my 20s about what's this intuition thing, right? And then when I was in business, when it got into like starting business, right, there was always this battle between my head and that intuition. Right. and, you know, logically making something work versus like something's just going to work, right? Type of thing. And I always put an intuition. And then I got into exploring more throughout the years and really got into meditation. And then someone said something one time on a podcast, like the purpose of meditation is to get in deeper connection because with that intuition, which is actually the voice of God. It was the voice of God speaking to you. Because what I experienced is that I started meditation practice, you know, in like 2016, and I started to understand things would just come, like creativity was coming out of me, you know, what to do, how to do it, kind of like just bubbling up. And this spark of inspiration, you might call it, right? Yeah. And it was nothing from the external. It was all from internal. It's just through, you know, something coming up. And I experienced that a few times, you know, I would always kind of fight back over it. And I had this story around it throughout the years when I owned my prior businesses about doing things and just jumping on the intuition and understanding that, you know, okay, that's where the source of my creation comes from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I'm going to go do anything, it's through that source versus my head source. My head's there to put everything in the organization and kind of, you know, kind of do the work. But, you know, where we're going, what we're going to do, what's the next opportunity comes from that place.
Yeah.
No matter if it's like content, like honestly, like I had in July, I was like, I told this guy I was working, like, kind of friend, he was running my ads and stuff. I was like, I'm gonna post about this. He's like, don't do that. I'm like, no, I'm gonna do it. He's like, don't do it. And dude, like literally I did it. I just wrote a post, and then, you know, a couple of days later someone read it and was like, ah, I want to talk to you about some stuff. Like, it was crazy, right? And it's like, and I think the process of our expansion and our evolution as not just full human beings is connection to that voice within. Right.
Yeah.
And to be able to lead from there and live from there versus living from here and be able to balance the two out.
And what, if you could go into some of the details of, do you have a specific, there's so many different forms of meditation. Some focus a lot on breathing. Some focus a lot on visualizing certain scenarios. Some focus on certain words that you repeat. Some focus on emptying your mind out. What type of meditation do you try to do?
Well, so I look at it like it's kind of like a, you know, everything has, there's all those different meditations. Everybody wants to be so like, this is the way, right? And, you know, we have to step back and kind of look at my framework of spirituality and life and everything else. Like, you know, growing up in a Southern Baptist Christian school, going to a Catholic school, being introduced in Catholic school to other world religions, we had to take that class. And understanding that is that I started beginning a viewpoint that, you know, this what they're saying right here isn't the 100% doctrine that's everything. There's something over in the Eastern religions that they're saying that is in relation. They're talking about I feel like they're talking about the same God. Now, one of the criticisms that I know Ravi Zachariah had of Eastern religions is that there's no salvation, right? And I completely, like, okay, well, but they're talking about meditation. They're talking about these things that are very powerful if you live them. So meditation for me, like, is different forms of meditation. If I learn a new one that I haven't already learned, it's just another tool, yeah. Right? Another, if you want to call it, like, you know, your yard tools, your toolbox, whatever you want to say. I think there is a progression in there from when you're first starting is just getting into understanding that you have these thoughts and they're just running and being able to at least in a few seconds, stop those thoughts, like not stop those thoughts, but control the thought into focusing on something. I think that's the first phase of it. Right? Yeah. Learning to control the mind of being able to do that. And I did that for a long time. And then beginning of this year, I started to, Insight Timer was great because you get a lot of connected with gurus and people who are doing this stuff. And I got into this guy named David G about chakra-based meditation. And I started really understanding, like, okay, well, let's hypothetically say this, that we do have internal biological energy, but what if we have spiritual energy? And, you know, what if this was real? It's not Satanism. It's real. It has nothing to do with being pagan or satanic or anything against what a Christian would say. What if it's a tool that we could use as Christians, as believers in God and all that to bring us closer and a more evolved, right? And more in connection with that, right? And what if this stuff was true? Because here's the thing is that I kind of studied it, did a bunch of like sessions throughout the first beginning of the year, and then started working with this girl. And she started, she was just stuck in something, right? Gave her a task to do for the week. She came back, didn't do it. And I said, what's up? Like, so I just went to my intuition and went there and took her through some, something that I learned was just kind of identifying what fear, what feeling you're doing and releasing it. And then identifying where that resides in your body based off your chakras. And she was really knowledgeable. This is a great pairing, knowledgeable on her chakras. And I said, well, where are you feeling these, when you let go of these, where are you feeling those? Like kind of, are you in throughout your body? She says, my throat and in my belly. I'm like, well, what does your belly mean? What's your chakra in your belly mean? She says, power. I'm giving away my power. And I said, okay, where are you getting away your power? And she went back to her ex-husband, her dad, and then in her throat, where she said, my voice. And I'm like, where are you not speaking your voice? And she was like, well, my husband and my dad. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go back and let's identify the story and the process and everything else inside of that. And, you know, dude, she took off from there. Like she just, it was immediate, like leveling up and results in her business, in her life. And she just became a different person.
Man, dude, that is so powerful. That's awesome that you were able to do that.
Yeah. And I think like, it's something that, you know, we have all these stories, right? And these stories do not, the more we get rid of these stories and these feelings, the experiences, and like, cause my belief is they embed our into our own code. Like, I mean, we're just bunch of, our DNA is just a bunch of code, right? Yeah. So, you know, we have patterns and processes and triggers and all this other stuff that get into how we do things. And that's why looking at a habit as not a way, as an action to override our programming and to reprogram ourselves, just like 2 minute drill, right? Like if I tell you, let's go just do something for 2 minutes. But that's a part of it. The more we're into that, the less connected we are to that internal voice as well. So it affects everything.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty common thread behind how you view spirituality kind of at a theoretical level, how you do it practically. And then even in your business is really learning how to tap into your own inner intuition, which is yours, but also bigger than you in a way, and then leading from there. So that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you. That's kind of the first part of the answer, I guess, is how do you see this new perspective you have on spirituality? How does that affect your business?
Yeah, I mean, it helps me, like, you know, I mean, I'm not always connected at the level I love to be, like, you know, experienced to be, but it's instead of like getting stuck in indecision, I go to that to find out where I'm going. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, there's something I think gets in with everybody. There's something inside of you that is so quiet that's calling you to do something, but we just choose not to listen.
Yeah.
Right. We'll put excuses in front of it. And it's identifying that, getting the courage to actually shine the light in there. And, you know, listen to what it says and do that.
Have you heard of philosopher Peter Kreeft?
No.
He's a Catholic guy. He actually reminds me a lot of Ravi Zacharias, but like a Catholic version and a kind of nerdier version. but he has this story from when he was, I think, 6 years old. He said it was the most profound lesson that he ever learned in his life was when he was 6 years old. He was driving home from his Baptist church with his dad. They had just gone to a Sunday service. And Peter, in the back seat, 6 years old, says, "Hey, Dad, I think I've figured out what this whole Christianity thing really is all about at the end of the day." And his dad just kind of laughed. He's like, "Okay, sure, buddy. Like, what do you think it is?" And he said, "I think that at the end of the day, you just have to ask God, what do you want me to do now? And then you do it." And that sounds essentially, and his dad was humble enough to be like, "You know what, son? I think you're basically right." And it sounds like that's what you're saying, is like really get in touch with that voice, which, you know, you can interpret a number of different ways spiritually. That hardly even matters for the practical day-to-day application of it. Get in touch with that inner voice, listen to what it's saying, and then just do it. Do you find with your clients that they have a harder time finding out what that voice is saying, or do they have a harder time actually doing what it's saying?
I think it's both. We're not taught. Like, I think like we're not taught to do that, right? The Eastern concepts of like, I had an opportunity in college to study Eastern concepts as well. It's like, you know, we're not taught like that. It's so, as one, someone I talked to a few months ago was talking about Newtonian, like it has to be fact, it has to be science-based and everything else, right? We're not even taught how to do that. We're taught so much to be like, get into our head, right? Yeah. Like, you know, and go from our head, which is important. I think there has to be a relationship between them. And if you even look at the concept of yin and yang and how much that comes into play, even in this, right? Head and heart, right? You can't, if you're all head, you're going to be very, right? You're going to run over people. You're going to like go push boundaries. You're going to do all that stuff. But if you're all heart, you're going to get walked all over, right? But if you put those two together, I think there's more for the greater good that can be done. And even there's a more expanded version of what could be created in that. So, but I'm just, what I'm getting at is it's so much, we're not taught, right? We're not taught to a conversation about intuition. We're not taught that religion and Christianity and God has to do with a relationship. But even everybody in the Christian church says, "I have a relationship with God." I go, "Well, what does that look like? Like, what is, I read the Bible. Okay, great. But what does that look like? You quote me one verse, but you don't read the whole chapter." Right?
Yeah. No, I totally resonate with what you're saying of just not being taught the actual steps of how to experience a relationship with God, of how to sit down, and you have a Bible, you might have a notebook, and you're told to bring those. That's what I was told to, at least. But then it's like, what do you do then? Like, some people, I know so many people who, they grew up in a Christian church and they leave, and then they say that one of the reasons they leave is because they don't want to believe in anything they've never personally experienced, and they don't feel like they ever personally experienced God while at church. And I often tell them, like, "I believe you. I believe you that you never have had an experience of anything divine, because most churches don't know how to teach you to do that." And people are skeptical, I think. People are skeptical in general of there being methods for stuff, but they're especially skeptical of there being, like, actually steps you can do spiritually. And yet it's so crazy if you look over the history of Eastern churches, if you look over the history of Catholic church, especially in the Middle Ages, if you look at the history of Eastern religions, like, there are steps, there are ways, there have been techniques devised to help you get into a state where you can hear from God. And yet, like you're saying, most people have never, ever been taught that.
Yeah, I mean, we only teach what we can, we've learned ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I think obviously with internet and all that stuff, it was really breaking down those barriers too. You know, you're being exposed some more, you get to, you know, Kabbalah. Like, talk about Kabbalah. I heard about it, you know, and I was like, well, what is this? And I got to get a good understanding. I'm not looking to become a Kabbalist or anything like that, but I understood that, okay, well, what we've been taught here, here's how it relates to here, right?
Yeah.
And here's how these really connect, and here's how, here's what it kind of means more, right? That, that, that whole nature of to give and to receive.
Yeah. And I listened to, I got the free trial and I listened to a few of the Insight Timer meditations that you sent me on Kabbalah. And the first day really jumped out to me. One of the things that the lady was teaching about, she was saying that one of the core teachings of Kabbalah, and this is something that through a long different journey, I had kind of finally reached this point, but she stated it so concisely and so beautifully, was that in the end, all will be good. And life is not a, well, let me start over. It started off like this, actually. Life is not a just collection of random events. There is a larger story. And in the end, all will be good. And you can make it good faster by your decisions. So there's that optimism of everything will be good in the end. And I think for, in my understanding, that means resurrection from the dead, eternal life, everybody living in perfect harmony, even people in hell having been saved and rescued and coming into the whole family of God. Like, that's what I take that to mean. But by our actions, there's still purpose. It's not like, well, everything is going to be good in the end, so we do nothing. But you can get there faster. We can all get there faster together by intentional, loving decision.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I was thinking about this, I thought about it in the past, but the last couple of days was like, you know, that first rejection of here's your gift. And, you know, look at the Adam and Eve story. It was like, look, don't eat from that tree because you're going to get eaten from the tree of good and evil. And you're going to have basically the knowledge of God, right? Type of thing, right? You're gonna have that. So then it was like, okay, well, if you're going to go do that, then you're going to have to go through this evolutionary process of evolving because, you know, we are, you know, if you look at the stuff that we're starting to do now, I mean, honestly, like CRISPR's like, if you talk about gene editing and all that stuff, like, I mean, now you're playing God, but it's been an evolutionary process over the course of human history to constantly learn more about the universe and stuff. And one thing Robbie said is like, that's the joy of that God has, right? He doesn't put it in that context that, hey, there was rejection and now you're going to have to go there. But like the discovery of finding out new things, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you have kids?
I don't.
Okay. So like, it's imagine when they first take their first step, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, who's more happier that kid took their first step, the kid or you?
I imagine I would be.
Yeah. And Robbie put it in that sense of like, that's the nature of God and you learning, you know? And, you know, you talked about like salvation and hell and all this other stuff. I'm like, this is one thing I said too, because, you know, the fundamental Mormon church, whatever, they're very judgmental, right? Like it's common and they're starting to talk about it. Right. Which is great.
Yeah.
Right. The prophet, whatever. But they, you know, I asked them, I said, hey, what if the real message of salvation, this is before I understood the whole, like we were given and stuff like that. I go, what if it was really to forgive ourselves and forgive, each other? Because if you look at the cause of human destruction and human like evil, where does it come down to? That simple principle, right?
Yeah.
Like you're willing to, you know, kill people and do all this other stuff and condemn people for certain things. And, you know, obviously there's greed in there, but you know, what would be more damning to you and feeling like you're in living hell, like not being able to forgive yourself and living in anger towards somebody else?
Yeah. I mean, really at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. So much of our experience that we don't like comes down to how we view ourselves and how we view others and not, and for everyone, thinking that everyone has to earn the right to be loved when really it was our birthright.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. How did, growing up, how did you think of, or what were the messages you received about, I guess, the goodness of business and whether it was kind of good or bad or neutral? Because I guess where I'm sort of going with this is I kind of grew up feeling like the way that you earn money, you kind of have to do it, but it's not really inherently a spiritual or even a human thing. It's just kind of this fact of life. But then the spiritually good things that you can do, you have to do in your time off from work. And I've recently come to understand that fundamentally loving people through your work is like an amazingly spiritual thing. I was wondering if you had any similar thoughts or similar insights, or what were your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, like, obviously we have this systemic social programming of, like, you know, there's a guilt around success, right? We're seeing that really bubble up right now about billionaires, yeah, and something like that. But I think that's a society programming us to feel a certain way, right? But growing up, like, there was no real connection for me between the two. It wasn't until, I really started to really, I felt like when I opened up my gym, like, something I was meant to be doing, right? It was to impact people and stuff like that. Like, that's when that really came into being of, like, I was not doing something. I mean, my mom's business and what we got involved with, and I partnered with her, and it was a family business for a while. You know, what she was doing was a good service, right? She was taking care of seniors that were, you know, in their last years and stuff and needed to be taken care of. But for me, like, I didn't feel like I was having an impact, or I wasn't doing anything, you know, really that was connecting. Yeah. But when I just felt like, oh, this, you know, I felt I got so much value and grew so much internally. And later on, I went through 3 years of just doing workouts, like hour and a half workouts every day, following a coach, but it was more spiritual, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But that's when it really came into being of, like, oh yeah, like, we went to do this thing that was fun. And then people's lives, like, people were getting married, people were coming to us straight out of, like, rehab and, like, mm-hmm, picking up fitness as a new addiction. Their lives are changing, all this other stuff. And I was like, yeah, like, this is, like, this is an amazing thing to do. So,
wow, that's awesome, man. That's so cool. As we kind of wrap up for this episode, we've been going for about an hour now. That's the extent about how long I like to hear two people talk on a podcast. So that's where I try to cap off my.
You're not going Joe Rogan style or what, man?
But no, I think the 3 hour conversations are a bit long, personally. But so if there was any final message that you would want to kind of get across to whoever's listening here, just any average person, you just want them to know something, maybe something you've been thinking about recently, what would that be? And then as a follow-up, to buy a little more time to think about the first question, as a follow-up, where can people just learn more about you? Where can they follow you on social media and stuff like that?
Okay. I'll go with the first one first question. So this is a kind of a concept that, you know, what, like, I started off 2 years ago with a certain brand name and message, you know, about it. And, you know, you start asking yourself, like, what are you truly good or great at, or everything else? Like, what's your gift, right? And what has been my journey? And my journey has been learning to lead myself. So, like, I want, you know, there's people say, hey, you have everything within you, but the process of your life is learning to lead yourself, right? We, you know, and that's the freedom that, you know, and salvation throughout your life that you're going to feel like you're going to be able to lead your own life, right? We're in the probably the greatest time and to be alive and to learning to evolve and basically lead yourself from within. And that within is connected to God. So, yes. I think that people really need help, you know, and be taught how to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And then where can people find you? You have your own podcast, and then where can they follow you on social media?
Yeah, I mean, pretty easy to find. AnthonyDCampo.com is my website. You can search in Anthony Campo, Anthony DCampo on Facebook, Instagram. And then I have a podcast called the Be Battle Ready Podcast, which is focusing on, you know, we focus on five topics of like what it means to be battle ready in your business and to be ready for business and all that stuff. And we focus on marketing, sales, client service, leadership, and then personal development. So go through those five topics. Some are more than others, but that's what it is about. But yeah, that's where you can find me. Be Battle Ready Podcast. I've had, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 guests. I don't know where I'm at right now with this. It's up, getting up there. So
yeah, it's a solid podcast. I binged a number of your episodes kind of in the last 2 days to prepare for this podcast.
Oh, and nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. So go to the Be Battle Ready Podcast, listen to a few episodes, leave a review, help him out.
Yeah,
and you
for
also
sure.
offer, I hope I'm not mistaken in setting you up for something you don't agree to, but you also offer kind of a free intro coaching session for people, right? To kind of help them just have a few breakthroughs up front, help them understand kind of what area in their life and business to move forward. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I love working with people. My history's been building business, right? Having a couple of businesses and stuff, but, you know, I really feel like I could, just like I talked about with that girl, is like getting into those situations of like, what's keeping you stuck? What's the thing that's, you know, holding you back?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I feel so guilty because a lot of 99.99% of the time, it's the most simplest thing you need to do.
Yeah. And it's I can say from my own personal experience that even just from a brief Facebook group interaction with Anthony, he's good at what he does. He's good at asking just pointed questions to help people get to the root of what it is that they're struggling with. What is the kind of internal conflict that needs to be resolved? And he asks really solid questions. And through those brief comments back and forth, he was able to help me a lot. So definitely, if you're just at that point feeling stuck, hit him up, see what he offers, and glean from his wisdom.
That's just connection right there. I don't, like, honestly, like, if you want to hear a practical sense of, you're saying applying that to business of the, you know, how do you connect that? It's being able to feel what someone needs in that moment. So, that's what it is. So it's just, you know, yeah. So, well, cool. I appreciate you having me on, man. And we'll have to flip roles and I'll have to interview coming up.
Sounds good. You have a great day, man.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.